Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth bringing you another program of the Christian Voters and Buyers League. The subject of today's broadcast, Negro crime and disease in the United States. There is not a law-abiding white citizen in any major city of the country today who isn't a mighty worried individual. He keeps rotating in his mind the official government crime figures of the black man, and instead of looking better, the more he ponders it, the worse those figures get. 10% of the population, the Negro, accounts for 90% of all major crime. That makes these blacks exactly 81 times more criminal than the white man. 10% of the population, the Negro, accounts for 90% of all the syphilis and gonorrhea in the country. That makes these blacks 81 times as filthy as the white man. 10% of the population, the Negro, accounts for 90% of all the illegitimate children in the country. That makes these blacks 81 times more profligate than the white man, with nearly all of these children born into these dread diseases. Syphilis, a disease of the blood, highly contagious through contact with the infected. And then the law-abiding white man grows fearful for the safety of his children through our government's forced association with these criminal disease carriers. He grows fearful for his wife, his sisters, or even his mother when he thinks again about those dread figures which include bodily assault and forcible rape. But more criminal than the Negro, more diseased than the Negro, and lower in the scale of humanity than the Negro is the American politician, who will break all laws, ignore all justice, and stamp out all freedom of choice and betray his own white race into slavery to purchase the block vote of 10 million niggers to gain political power. Guiltiest of all and most evil of all politically among individuals is the President of the United States, who should be the moral pillar of the nation. His companions in guilt are nearly all members of Congress, governors of states, and mayors of both great cities and small towns, with all of their brother crooks. Since this Negro was recruited into a disciplined army by the American Jews, who bought and paid all the expense of marshaling the Negroes against the white man, not only the South, but the entire country is facing another dread crisis, a 1962 era of Reconstruction. But it is far more dangerous and far more tragic than the first one, for this time it is backed by unconstitutional interpretations of the law. If continued and the white man is further driven against the wall, blood will surely flow, for none but a miserable coward will accept such suppression without fighting. Guiltiest of all as a group is the Jewish persons who have climbed to absolute control of the country with this Negro-Jewish horde of purchased votes. How much longer will the good white citizen allow a non-Christian press to withhold full reports of all these crimes? Only 1 in 6 is now reported in every city. How much longer will these political criminals be able to force the police force of every town to persecute those who resist, to allow these black vermin to go scot-free, to accept bribes and commit themselves the very crimes they are hired to prevent? Why, it will go on until the white man, stupid as he is and coward that he is, calls upon the strength of his heritage and culture to band together to defeat these enemies and to arm himself actually and literally for the dread emergency that has arrived. With any political machine, either big city or small town machine, honor and love of country plays a very squeaky second fiddle when the opposing side is armed with $1,000 bills and even $1,000,000 bills if the prize is worth the price. Every large city in the United States today is a cesspool of crime, theft, and crooked law enforcement. New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles only surpass the figures of small town as dens of iniquity because they have larger populations. The percentages are almost exactly the same in vice, drunkenness, dope addiction, and moral destruction. As an example to the rest of the country, there is no greater cesspool of filth than our nation's capital. Senator Thomas J. Dodd of Connecticut, a fine, loyal American senator, began a speech in Congress recently by saying, The most dangerous and criminal place in America after dark is Washington, D.C. He was speaking about Negro crime there. Hail integration. The records have long ago shown that there are over 2,200 cases of pregnancy in the public schools of Washington among girls under 17 years of age. There are 2,600 cases of dread venereal disease every year in the public schools of Washington among children under 17 years of age. 92% of these diseases and pregnancies are among Negroes. Well, laugh that one off, Reverend Martin Luther King. Laugh that one off, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Perhaps that explains why, at the last count, only 2 out of 537 members of Congress send their children to the public schools in Washington. Integration, you see, is not for our rulers, but only for the peasants, the poor common people like you and me. We don't think even Mr. Kennedy would go so far as to integrate innocent little Carolyn to preserve, protect, and defend that lovely black vote, and we admire him for that alone. But wait until the NAACP begins to insist. And so we literally shout at you the question, white man, what have you done to the capital city of your country? What have you allowed to be done to that nation's capital, named after the first and most sublime of all Americans? Before 1954, Washington had total and complete segregation. Before 1954, Washington was a refined, beautiful southern city. Today it is a cesspool of crime and corruption, filth and ugliness, 80% Negro registration in the public schools, and on the white man's federal payroll. Today even foreign diplomats' wives and daughters are unsafe and shocked at what they behold. The white man has allowed his Congress to take the actual government of the capital of his country out of Christian white hands. Think of it. The District of Columbia is governed by 3 commissioners appointed by the President and approved by the Senate. One of them must be an officer of the United States Army Engineer Corps to ensure that all government buildings conform to the architectural design of the present buildings. That's as it should be to make Washington such a beautiful city. The other 2 commissioners are civilian appointees. For the first time in the history of our country, a non-Christian Jewish commissioner was appointed by Mr. Kennedy, Walter Tobriner, president of the commission. For the first time in the history of our country, a Negro commissioner was appointed by Mr. Kennedy, John Duncan by name. The Army commander, Brigadier General Fred Clark, is under the direct command of Lyman Lemnitzer, the Jewish U.S. Army Chief of Staff. Thus, our 2 most prominent racial minorities are in complete control of the capital of this nation. Do you know what are the powers of these commissioners? They control the police, the city magistrates' courts, the schools, the traffic, prison and parole, the licensing of all business, including hotels, clubs, restaurants, and stores, and they control the licensing and sale of all alcoholic beverages in Washington. Controlling these licenses for liquor, don't you also see now why Washington's finest clubs and hotels have the heat on them to accept Negroes? Accept them or else is a better way of expressing it. Can't you also see why Virginia across the river to the south has had so much trouble resisting this disease-infected black plague? Is it any wonder that Maryland on Route 41 has refused to serve this swarm of black locusts? We have often wondered why segregation has not been approached in the true meaning of the word, for segregation is fundamentally a health problem. The victims of any contagious disease are segregated. They are isolated and kept separate at all times and in all countries. For it is only by segregation that these diseases can be brought under control, no matter whether they be leprosy, scarlet fever, smallpox, or just plain measles, or the social diseases carried by these Negroes. In the under 17 years of age bracket on social diseases, it must be not 81 times greater, but closer to 800 times greater. Look again at the figures for girls under 17 in high school in Washington. 2,200 girls every year are forced to quit school and retire and have an illegitimate baby. Then they and the child go on the white man's relief rolls, 92% of them niggers. Are not these contagion figures alone sufficient evidence to completely isolate restrooms and washrooms anywhere? Is it not a mortal crime to subject white Christian children to the same danger of infection? A sure danger. Would you yourself risk sharing washrooms and restrooms with such filth? When medical men recognize such figures, for judges not to do so is pure insanity. How long before the white Christian man and woman will stand up on their hind legs and shout, "Enough!" How long before the white Christian will say to these criminal niggers, "Not one dime will we pay further to any unwed mother"? Our splendid Congressman James C. Davis headed the committee of the House, which took sworn testimony of teachers in the schools of Washington to bear out our every statement. We haven't time to go into the searching of pupils for switchblade knives, brass knuckles, zip guns which kill, and marijuana cigarettes, or narcotics such as morphine and heroin. No wonder congressmen, Supreme Court judges, and the president refuse to send their children or grandchildren to such dens of iniquity as the public schools in Washington. Horace Mann's school there was considered the best school in town, a white school. When it was integrated, the pupils smashed all the windows and broke all the desks and blackboards and used the halls as toilets. Not the white children, the blacks, on sworn testimony of the teachers. The Christian Voters and Buyers League is going to take steps to get rid of senators whose members confirm such district commissioners. The white man pays over 90% of the taxes, represents 94% of the population, and the wealth and intelligence of this country in every community. Yet, like in the capital of our country, he is practically voiceless. The crime figures and the disease figures throughout the country match almost exactly those of Washington. Local, state, and national government is debauched by the Negro's massed, unified, purchased vote. Yet our womanhood is threatened by his insolence, our children beaten by Negro toughs on the way to school, and we pay the taxes to let them do so. This is no longer a question of bad government, it is a question of impossible government. And if allowed to continue not only in Washington but in every other American city, these reincarnations of Sodom and Gomorrah must result in civil war. Bloody, heartbreaking, and unthinkable. Never in history was the white Christian so called upon to measure up to his heritage to avoid this total destruction of the still greatest nation on earth. The answer cannot be in submission to this oppression of the white man. That catastrophe would be worse than civil war, both for the white Christian and his country, for it would set human progress back 50 centuries. We hear crackpot societies who keep harping on the strings of freedom of choice for every individual in his associations with others. Every fool knows that the white man has been robbed of this by his crooked courts and his non-Christian-controlled government. It is not only the white man's right to overthrow those now in power, it is his duty to do so. Mind you, not to change the best government in the world one iota, the best government the world has ever known, but to kick out on the street those traitors who now sit in power. But it must be done at once, for in another 10 years our youth will be dumbbells, untrained and deliberately undereducated through this forced mixture with the black race, which has no language, no culture, no civilization, other than one of slavery to every other race of mankind in addition to our own. Dear friends, join the Christian Voters and Buyers League. It is the only organization in existence whose sole purpose is to band the white man together in an army of voters at the election polls and with but one single purpose and motto, namely, "White man, we're taking back our country." Give to this Christian Voters and Buyers League the same number of members as the evil combine of niggers and Jews have banded together, and we'll lick them within 3 years in our elections. We shall have kicked out every political traitor from office, starting at the White House. How easy this is when we dominate the enemy better than 5-1 in numbers. Address the Christian Voters and Buyers League at Box 58 in Decatur, Georgia, and don't forget that the address is on the label of this recording. Our greatest weapon is the Christian buyer's protest and refusal to buy any product made by those who are financing this nigra into power, and to refuse to spend one dime on any product whose company has established multi-million dollar tax-free foundations. The money of these foundations is spent for forced integration and the teaching of communism and one world government to our loved ones. The choice is yours. We fight peacefully, or we toss in the sponge in surrender. Surrender is not the way of the Christian white man. Join us for victory. Join us to take back our country. We urge you to get a copy of the Christian Voters and Buyers League recording on kosher foods and meats and the blackmail concerning their sale to you. This is Wally Butterworth speaking. Goodbye, all.